On September 17th of this year, protesters sparked a global movement by plopping down in Zuccotti Park, close to the Financial District in New York City. Calling the movement Occupy Wall Street, this group continues to attract a rotating assemblage of protesters, with 100 or two staying each night. This symbolic protest against various social and economic problems has spawned sister protests in other U.S. cities and even abroad. These protests have morphed into organic communities with microeconomies and consensus-type governance. To some, these 24/7 protests are wonderful examples of direct democracy and civil disobedience. To others, examples of ineffective and inchoate complaining and a daily nuisance. To law professors, the protests present a great opportunity to talk about the First Amendment. So, can U.S. citizens just go anywhere and occupy for weeks on end with no limit? No, of course not. However, the First Amendment does provide extensive speech rights in so-called traditional public forums, such as parks and sidewalks. Citizens are allowed to exercise speech rights on this kind of public property, but the government can enforce reasonable restrictions on the time, place, and manner of such exercises, as long as the restrictions are narrowly tailored to address a legitimate concern and are content neutral. For example, a city can require permits for certain kinds of demonstrations and regulate hours. Restrictions can't be targeted at certain types of groups or be unnecessarily limiting. The Occupy protests pose new challenges to the current First Amendment regime, however, as the speakers aren't merely speaking or demonstrating or marching. They are moving in and staying. The first question to ask is whether any New York City ordinances prohibit the actions of Occupy Wall Street. Interestingly, all public parks in the city close at 1 a.m., and prohibit sleeping in the parks. However, Zuccotti Park isn't actually a public park. By coincidence, it is privately owned, with the owner guaranteeing the city public access 24/7 as part of a land development agreement. Therefore, city park rules do not apply. However, the owner of the park has announced new rules, such as no tarps or sleeping bags, but it is unclear if the police have the power to enforce these rules without interfering with free speech rights afforded public forums. Whether a privately owned public park constitutes a traditional public forum is open to some question, but if it is, then any owner-created rules would also have to be narrowly tailored, reasonable, and content-neutral. In 1984, the Supreme Court assumed, but did not decide, that overnight sleeping in a park to demonstrate against homelessness was not expressive conduct and so could be banned. However, a lower federal court in New York held in 2000 that a restriction on sleeping on the sidewalk would not be upheld against a group that wanted to demonstrate regarding the plight of evicted tenants. Therefore, whether the occupying component of the protest is part of the message and worthy of protection as expression is an open question. If so, that rule might lead to the odd result that the homeless poor have no right to sleep in the park, but politically minded protesters do. So far, no one in Zuccotti Park has been threatened by legal action or asked to leave. For the most part, government leaders have been wary of the political ramifications of interfering with this exercise of free speech. However, last week in Oakland, California, and Atlanta, Georgia, police arrested overnight protesters and cleaned out the occupied spaces, City Hall in Oakland and Woodruff Park in Atlanta. At some point, even in New York, the protesters may overstay their welcome, or rising tensions may lead to other confrontations. Then, the courts may become involved with sorting out whether Zuccotti Park is a traditional public space and whether occupation is expressive speech that cannot be limited. Or, as winter heads our way, people may just get cold and go home. This is Christine Hurt.